our Catholic friends teach that Mary is the mother of God, that she herself was sinless, that she was immaculately conceived, and that she ascended to heaven and is the co-mediator with Jesus. Are these biblical ideas, or should we reject them outright?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, if you were listening to the Line of Fire broadcast last Friday, which is our day for You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers, someone called in, I would say Protestant in tone, asking about some teaching he had heard about Mary on a Catholic radio program, and he was concerned that the teaching seemed unscriptural. And I told him, yes, that teaching is unscriptural, gave him reasons why. And then Catholic callers began to call in to explain why we should accept this teaching about Mary, sinless, even immaculately conceived, descended to heaven, things like that. And others were calling from other viewpoints. I said, you know what? Here's what we'll do. Because Friday we devote to all kinds of questions. I will actually take a day on the Line of Fire, Tuesday being our teaching day, opening up the Word, discussing doctrinal issues, apologetics, practical living. I said, we'll take a day to do it. I'm not a Catholic basher. I have differences with various aspects of Catholic teaching that are very profound and deep. If someone is born into God's kingdom and is a disciple of the Lord and they are Catholic, I welcome them as a brother or sister. But I have many differences. But this is not what the radio show is about. This is not a Catholic bashing show. It's not a major focus. But we're going to open up this discussion today. And you're welcome to call from both sides of the equation here, or from a completely other side of the equation. You may be Greek Orthodox, you may be Messianic Jewish, you may be Roman Catholic, you may be historic Protestant, you may be an atheist. You're welcome to call in 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. In fact, you can join in the very active discussion already taking place on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown, where I simply ask this question: how should we respond to the Catholic assertions that Mary was the mother of God, that she herself was without sin and immaculately conceived, that she ascended to heaven and is the Queen of Heaven and the co-mediator with Jesus? But let me read something to you from Pope Pius IX, December 8th, 1854, promulgated by him, this apostolic constitution titled Ineffabilis Deus. We declare, pronounce, and define that the doctrine which holds that the most blessed Virgin Mary, in the first instance of her conception, by a singular grace and privilege granted by Almighty God in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the human race, was preserved free from all stain of original sin, is a doctrine revealed by God and therefore to be believed firmly and constantly by all the faithful. Then the Pope continues, in her, who with her only begotten Son is the most powerful mediatrix and conciliatrix in the whole world, in her, who is the most excellent glory, ornament, and impregnable stronghold of the Holy Church, in her, who has destroyed all heresies and snatched the faithful people and nations from all kinds of direst calamities, in her, do we hope, who has delivered us from so many threatening dangers. These are the words, friends, of a Pope. And how seriously were these things to be taken? Quote, hence, if anyone shall dare, which God forbid, to think otherwise than as has been defined by us, let him know and understand that he is condemned by his own judgment, that he has suffered shipwreck in the faith, that he is separated from the unity of the church, and that furthermore, by his own action, he incurs the penalties established by law if he should dare to express in words or writing or by any other outward means the errors he thinks in his heart. Wow. So the Pope is saying, don't you dare think anything differently about what we teach about Mary, even though in point of fact, there's no scriptural support for it, and in point of fact, the scriptures are often blatantly against it. We'll have a dialogue today right here.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
When I came to faith in 1971, it was in an Italian Pentecostal church, and many of the people in that church, that small congregation, had come out of Catholicism themselves and then were born again. Many of the women had been very religious Catholics, and when they really met Jesus, they left Catholicism. Yet our church was not a Catholic-bashing church. You didn't hear sermons against the Pope. You didn't hear sermons against Mary. Basically, Jesus was exalted. We were in the Word. I didn't grow up with a hostility toward Catholics. I've been to Italy more than any other country, 20 times total. And Catholicism, of course, reigns religiously in Italy. And I know many people there that came out of Catholicism when they were born again. But I know others who are born again within the Catholic Church. So my goal is not to have a general assault on Catholicism or make all Catholics feel bad. My goal today, prompted by callers last week, is to discuss the question of Mary. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, Ask Dr. Brown, especially our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, otherwise AskDrBrown.org. Years ago, one of our students in our school, it was on Long Island, went to serve as a missionary, an intern, in Guatemala, and came back with a picture. I saw the photograph myself. It was a picture of an Easter procession, an Easter parade down the streets of the city where they were in Guatemala. And there was Jesus being paraded down the streets in a coffin. And there was Mary sitting on a throne. I saw the picture myself. And the inscription read, Mary, the same yesterday, today, and forever, in Spanish, which with the slightest Spanish knowledge, you could read it easily. My biggest concern is not even specific doctrine. My biggest concern is people giving their hearts to Mary in a way that only belongs to the Lord. My biggest concern is exalting a human being to a place where only the Son of God can be exalted. And I'm constantly dealing with rabbis, the Jewish community, and they're often telling me, well, what I believe about Jesus is idolatrous, and the worship that I give him and adoration for him is idolatrous. And I said, well, not if he's God in the flesh. If he's the Word made flesh, then it's not idolatrous. But when Mary is exalted as the Queen of Heaven, and all graces are found in her, and she's the one that now has to mediate with Jesus, even though we are told explicitly in Scripture that there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Messiah, Jesus. Now you add in another mediatorial figure in the King of Justice, and Mary is the one that people need to go to find mercy. I think she'd be shocked and grieved by these developments that detract from, compete with, the honor and the glory that belongs to the Son alone. So I want to lay these things out point by point. Is it unscriptural to refer to Mary as the mother of God, Theotokos, the God-bearer? Is it unscriptural to think of her as herself immaculately conceived or sinless, or to say that she was a perpetual virgin, that she never had children, that she ascended to heaven? I say that Scripture is explicitly against these claims, and where Scripture does not address them, that these claims come in centuries and centuries later. They are not only without scriptural authority, they're even contradicted by other early church leaders. And these are dogmas which should be best left behind, every single one of them. God, who is eternal from beginning to end, does not have a mother. Period. Jesus, the Son, created Mary and died for her sins as well as the sins of the entire world. And to the extent that people want to promote Mariolatry, to the extent that people want us praying to Mary, to the extent that people want us adoring Mary, to the extent that people want us honoring her in a way beyond what Scripture says, which as she is to be honored and celebrated as the mother of our Lord and nothing more. And in fact, when more honor and glory was attempted to be given to her when people especially spoke of her blessedness. Jesus says, for example, in Luke 11, no, blessed are all those who do the will of my Father. And that's my family. Those are my brothers and sisters. In other words, he immediately came against any additional celebration of or exaltation of Mary. Even in its earliest form, you couldn't even call it exaltation. She is called blessed. We are also called blessed in the scriptures. 866-34-TRUTH. Again, if you're just tuning in, what prompted this discussion was calls on Friday. And I said, well, great. To do this right, we'll set aside Tuesday and get into it. All right, to the phones. Kevin in Manhattan, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, how you doing, Dr. Brown? You were saying about somebody who brought back a picture from Guatemala. Well, I just came back from the Philippines. And it's more of a problem of just raising Mary to an equal or higher level than Jesus. It's the idolatry of the Catholic Church. I mean, you have people that will go into a church and bow down before marble statues of not only Mary, but other saints, and pray to these engraven images as if they're praying to them for their prayers to be brought to God by the saints. I mean, Mary is just one or probably the most blatant example of it, but it goes far beyond Mary as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's a larger issue. Of course, we're focused today on the Mary question, but I'm very sensitive to that larger issue, especially when it comes to statues. No matter what someone says, if they're explaining that it's not the statue they're worshiping, but what it represents, Scripture is so explicit against graven images being made. Totally with you on that. Hey, Kevin, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. Yeah, sorry to cut you off. Let me just say this again. I have been on the radio, and I'll say this. I haven't said this earlier. I've been on the radio for years, and I have done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shows. Some of you have only been listening to me for a day or a week or a month, some for 8-9 months. But I'm on the radio now for some years, doing 1 or 2 hours every day live. So you get a lot of radio time in. And I preach thousands of sermons, and I've been involved in scores of debates. And this is the first time that I have devoted a show or a message to the subject of Mary, okay? So I want to point that out. I want to make that clear, because there'll be an immediate reaction and why this and why that. I just want to say plainly that I am not a Catholic basher, and I do not spend most of my time, how can I say it again? I do not spend 99.9999999% of my time thinking of these issues. And in my massive library of thousands and thousands of volumes, I don't think I have more than one book dealing with the subject of Mary. And I bought it yesterday or the day before because of this program. All right? So I want to put that in context. Unless someone says, why are you getting into it? I'm getting into this in response to phone calls that came through. All right, we're going to get to our buddy Frank in Staten Island in a little while. We got a bunch of calls, phone lines lit up, so keep trying to get through. 866-34-TRUTH. Dominic in Washington, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, Michael, thank you for taking the call. I just want to point out that I understand your disclaimer, but I do think that looking at differences between the Catholics and the evangelicals and Protestants keeps us balkanized as a body of Christ. And I, not to rebuke you in any way, but it is to say that I think leaders such as yourself should focus more on the similarities and not these differences. Other pastors in the past, and even televangelists who've gone down this slippery slope, have not only hurt their own ministries, but they've actually hurt the body of Christ. And I think it's somewhat disingenuous of you to say, though at the same time, that you're not a Catholic basher when you're devoting this time just based on callers that may have called you on Friday.
All right. So Dominic, here's a question for you. There are over a billion Catholics in the world. Many people in the Catholic Church would die for their beliefs in Mary. There are Catholic doctrines that say that if you don't hold to these things, you're not part of the church. There are callers who listen to this program regularly who are Catholics and who would like to discuss these issues and who press these issues. And to be fair to them, I said, let's have a whole show devoted to it. So you're saying that with more than a billion Catholics in the world, with many Catholic listeners that I have, with this being a central issue that divides us, and the fact that I'm devoting one show out of several thousand to Mary is going down a slippery slope and is going to do more harm than good. I think perhaps you're having a reaction here, sir. With all respect, there's no slippery slope I'm going down here. Number one, I've got too many things the Lord's given me to do. And number two, this is going to be constructive. I'm going to give my side and folks can give their side. But thank you, Dominic. It's because I think in these same ways that I'm not concerned.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire broadcast, prompted by calls on Friday of last week that were weighing in on both sides of the Mary debate. I said, well, we'll set aside a day to do it so we can talk it through and have both sides have at it. I am obviously passionately opposed to Catholic teaching on Mary. I am jealous for the exaltation of Jesus to the glory of God the Father. I'm jealous for my witness to my Jewish friends. I am jealous for Scripture. For all those reasons, I reject Catholic exaltation of Mary. But I am not one who gets on the radio every day or will do this periodically. If you listen for a month, you're not going to be hearing me every month talking about my differences with Catholicism. It's now, look, if I was a Catholic teacher on the radio, it's possible every day I'd be pushing Catholicism. And there are. I was shocked on the road watching a sports event and a Catholic outreach commercial came on that was as dogmatic as could be in terms of who the true church was. I was shocked by it just during a game. It came on a local station. And if I had some Catholic radio show and I've seen some Catholic TV shows, they are constantly promoting Catholicism in the Mother Church. So they're doing that 24/7. I'm not opposing that 24/7. That's not my mission. That's not my calling. But today we'll get into this issue of Mary, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Weigh in on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. All right, our friend Frank in Staten Island, part of the reason for this show today. How you doing, buddy?
Thank you, Michael. God bless you. And I don't believe you're a Catholic basher, Michael.
How would you define a Catholic basher?
A guy who bashes the church constantly, you know. But I don't think you are, Michael. I really don't. I think you believe in what you believe. But if you give me enough of time, Michael, I could refute every one of these. I could promote these doctrines by Scripture. Now, let me tell you why Mary is the Church teaches that she's sinless. This harkens back to the teaching on the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament. If you look at the Ark of the Covenant, what was in it? Aaron's rod, sign of his priestly authority. What did Mary contain in her body? The ultimate high priest, Jesus Christ. Now, the ark had to be built in the Septuagint, it says in the Greek, of incorruptible wood. Mary had the ultimate high priest in her body. The old ark had the bread that came down from heaven, the manna from heaven. Mary had the ultimate bread from heaven, the bread of life, Jesus Christ. And the tablets of the law were in the Old Testament, which was the Word of God. But Mary had the ultimate Word of God in her body, Jesus Christ. Also, if you look at the parallels between 2 Samuel chapter 6 and Luke chapter 1, they are stunning, Michael, proving that Mary is in fact the new ark of the new covenant. The church always referred to her as that.
Just a couple of quick questions for you.
Okay.
We'll put aside the fact that when the scriptures were communicated, the Torah was in Hebrew, not Greek. So that's just first thing, okay? So I'm not going to make it an argument about incorruptible.
Well, let me just answer that. Of the approximately 350 quotations in the New Testament, approximately 300 of them come from the Greek Septuagint. That is a fact. That's a fact, Michael.
So I understand.
The early church writers believed that the Septuagint was legitimate.
oh, it's legitimate, but you can't prove a doctrinal point based on it. In other words, it's still a translation. But that's just an aside. If your whole big thing is going to be the incorruptible word, but just to be clear on something, since the scriptures emphatically say that Jesus was without sin, and since Miriam, as she would have been called, speaks of God, her Savior, we only need to be saved if we're lost.
Right.
And Jesus is the Savior. He did not need to be saved from sin because he was sinless. Miriam needed a Savior. Yeshua died for every human being who ever lived, including his mother. I mean, we have sweeping statements like this. I appreciate the depth of thought you bring to this and the sensitivity of approach that you bring. But you have to admit that when she says in Luke 1, she speaks of God, her Savior, and when it's only one whose scripture says is without sin, namely her son Jesus, he's the only one that could die for us. Otherwise, Mary theoretically could have died for the world. And if she was born of a human mother and father, then she herself would be sinful. She'd inherit Adam's sin.
Okay, and that's a good point. But, Michael, the Catholic Church would agree with you on that. As a matter of fact, the Catholic Church states that Mary did, in fact, need a Savior. Okay, but here's the deal. They would say that she was saved in a more perfect way than you and I. She was saved by the future merits of our Lord's work on the cross in advance. In other words, she was prevented from falling into original sin. We don't have
any scripture for that. And in fact, many of the early church leaders talked about that she struggled with ambition and doubt. They talked about her sin. They didn't have a problem recognizing she was a human being.
She was a
fallen human being like everyone else who needed a Savior.
Michael, wait a minute. I could cite Irenaeus in Against Heresies that she was sinless, Hippolytus, Discourses on the End of the World, she was sinless.
And what about the leaders who say that she had ambition and struggled with doubt? And these are in the first few centuries that they speak of her like this. And
well,
more
I'm
importantly, that scripture says only one. Right. So first thing, there was no universal thought that she was without sin, but everyone recognized that Jesus was without sin because it's explicitly taught in Scripture. And that's why he was virginally born, so he would be without sin. Otherwise, if his father was human, he would inherit the sin of Adam,
just like Miriam did. Yeah, well, Marian was human, but yet, if she had sin, he would have inherited from her, Michael.
No, that's not how it goes. No, it goes through Adam. So then her mother had to be sinless as well.
Right. Well, here's the deal. God had to intervene at some point, Michael.
He intervened when he said he intervened with the Son of God. Hey, Frank, tell you what. Here's what I'm going to do. I've never done this just for a general caller, but
I have a lot of information. Michael.
You are the Catholic spokesman today. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm putting you back on hold, okay? And then I'm going to take other calls, and I'm going to come back to you, all right? Because we've got a ton of calls. So I'm doing something I haven't done, but I know you've looked at this. So you are the unofficial Catholic spokesman today. We'll continue to have a good dialogue. So hang in there. Eric, Freddie, and John will be getting to you right after the break. And then back to our friend Frank, and we'll have this ongoing discussion. 866-34-TRUTH. As we're talking about objections, questions, apologetics, and I mentioned the sensitivity I have to my Jewish people, one of the most important books I wrote, Volume 1 in my series on answering Jewish objections to Jesus, lays out the most fundamental issues that come up when talking to a Jewish person about your faith, and historical issues and issues of anti-Semitism in church history, both Catholic and Protestant, and issues even of the Holocaust. Very, very important issues to deal with, and I think you'll find it eye-opening, informative. We've reduced the price of the book, plus we'll give you free one of the most important messages I ever preach. You can listen to it on CD, Holy Desperation, A Real Call for Hunger, Thirst for God. It's a $35 value, yours today for just $20, postage paid. So call today, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Jesus is Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH, the number to call. As we discuss today Catholic beliefs on Mary, I absolutely reject them scripturally. And as a Jewish person following scripture, I have real issue with them. Nonetheless, we want to discuss this issue as cordially and graciously as we can with one another, since my goal is not to be on the air attacking Catholics, attacking Catholic doctrine. Where I take issue with things, I take issue. But look, I've had these issues as long as you've known me. I've had these issues for 40 years since I've been saved and met Catholics who held to these things. And I was shocked reading scripture to find out what they held to. I've had these issues for years. I've never written on it. I don't focus on it. I don't plan to focus on it. If folks feel that we need to give more attention to a doctrine to help illuminate it, then we'll do our best to bring on someone from the other side and discuss the issues through 866-34-TRUTH Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown. That's Ask Dr. Brown. Anne in New York City, thanks for calling the line of fire.
Yes. Hello, Dr. Brown. Now I'm a little more confused that Frank spoke, but I have a question. There's a lot of apparitions where supposedly the Virgin Mary appears to people, like Our Lady of Fatima. Is she the Virgin mm-hmm. Mary?
Yes. So.
Okay. So, all right. My question is this. In the book of Samuel, that woman summoned Samuel to speak to Saul, correct?
Right, and there's the controversy, the witch of Endor.
Yes.
Does she actually summon up Samuel from the dead to speak? And she's shocked that it actually happened, and
right.
he has a negative prophetic warning for Paul, or since God explicitly says in Deuteronomy 18 not to communicate with the spirits of the dead, mm-hmm. then is that, in fact, a demonic counterfeit, and how should we look at that?
Okay, because if it's not, I mean, if that's not a demonic counterfeit, how do we know that the Virgin Mary is not appearing to people on mountains, speaking to people? Is there anything in Scripture that would leave it open for her?
Well let's say that if people had to depend primarily on the Witch of Endor account, where a witch tries to conjure up a spirit, and then if Samuel appears, it's just a divine rebuke. I would hate to have that as my main text, but this much is clear, Anne, mm-hmm. that anything that detracts from Jesus as Savior and Lord to the glory of God the Father mm-hmm. is not scriptural. Anything that exalts any other personage or being, for example, if an angel genuinely appears, that angel does not receive worship, adoration. The name of the angel is not exalted. It is the name of Jesus that's exalted. So that's how I would test everything and then look at any of the revelation and see how it lines up with what's in Scripture. But Anne, thank you for calling. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. John in New York City, thanks for calling the line of fire.
Yes, good evening, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Yes, Dr. Byrne?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. What I wanted to stress about you, that it's not needful for you to declare that you are not bashing Roman Catholicism. You are merely declaring God's truth. It's not a matter of bashing. I mm-hmm. hate that word to be used, because so many people use that word when you explain and extol the truths of Scripture. Now, I was born and raised in a Roman Catholic country, and I went to Roman Catholic school, and I will categorically state Roman Catholicism is not Christianity.
Yeah, John, I understand.
I don't know if people have had, I have had the experiences, deep experiences, Roman Catholicism.
Yeah, and John, where were you raised? What country?
Originally, I came from Guyana, but that's almost 50
got it.
Years.
All right, hey, I've got to jump in. I have a break. I understand what you're saying, John. I fully understand it. There are people though that have major ministries of attacking Catholicism constantly. That to me is what I meant by Catholic bashing. But to say I have a strong doctrinal difference, absolutely, that is not bashing. Thanks, John.
Give us strength.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. We are discussing Catholic beliefs about Mary, which I strongly reject. But to say once again, the goal of this radio program is not to be the answer to Catholic radio constantly promoting the Mother Church, the alleged Mother Church constantly promoting Catholic doctrine. That is not one of my assignments from the Lord or one of my primary burdens, but we will discuss this issue today. 866-34-TRUTH. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. I appreciate what John was saying. If I am saying Catholic beliefs about Mary, calling her Mother of God, co-mediatrix and redemptrix are unscriptural and wrong, that to say I'm not Catholic bashing, of course, is self-evident. I'm simply opening up Scripture and having my differences. And yet, we are told by certain papal decrees that if we do not hold to these things, that we are to be cursed and rejected. It's not Christian. I would say that's the more serious bashing coming from the other side. 866-34-TRUTH. Eric in Ellicott City, Maryland, thanks for calling the line of fire.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to comment. I grew up a Southern Baptist, converted to a Presbyterian church, and spent a short time there, but was persuaded to enter the Roman Catholic Church. I entered it 8 years, and I'm actually exiting. I'm in the process right now with my family. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to call and just say that anyone who has ever had any knowledge of the Scriptures, or if they desire to have it, there are really good answers to a lot of the polemics and the challenges that Roman Catholicism offers, and even those who have been in it may have doubts. There's just some good material if they want to take advantage of it. And I mean, I just really wanted to make that comment.
Got it.
Those movements are difficult to do. But I also wanted to, I understand you had a gentleman stay on the phone here, and the sort of, you know, assigned to answer some questions. I was wondering,
perhaps you could... Yeah, he's a regular listener to the program and well educated in Catholicism and other areas. So when he called on Friday, I said, "Look, I can't take a lot of time on this, but I'm going to keep him on the line to bring back as eloquently representing the Catholic position." So go ahead, Eric.
If interested, what I'd like to offer is the essential teachings of Mary that are specifically Roman Catholic. I would like to know if those teachings are based on the ordinary or extraordinary magisterium of the church.
All right. We'll raise that question, Frank in Staten Island. I'm sure your listening can respond. All right. Thank you, Eric, for calling in. Keep pursuing Jesus. I appreciate it. Gary in Nutley, New Jersey, thanks for calling the line of fire.
Thanks for taking my call. What I'd like to say, first of all, I believe it's in the book of Romans, it says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So what Frank speaks about, Catholicism, that's all man-made religion, and it says, let no man deceive you. Doesn't it say that?
It says it many times in Scripture, in Romans 3:23, right. For all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God, Isaiah 53:6.
Frank from Staten Island, if he's a great man of Catholicism, we go by what the Scriptures say. We don't go by what someone says or thinks. Mary's a sinner, too. She needed salvation like the rest of us. We're Christians because of Jesus, not Mary. So I don't agree, and I don't believe what Frank has to say.
All right. Thanks, Gary, for weighing in. Yeah, I mean, the Scriptures are universally clear of every human being sinning and falling short. They're universally clear, all except Jesus, the unique Son of God. So to debate that on a scriptural level, to me, is an open and shut case. Especially when that's how Jesus can save us, and Catholics have to come back and teach that she was somehow preserved from original sin by the merits of Jesus in advance. Again, there's not an ounce of Scripture pointing to that in any way. But let's go back to our friend Frank, then we'll take a bunch more calls. All right, Frank, first the question that Eric asked, if you could respond to that, and then we'll take up another issue, and you can give your viewpoint on it. But first, if you could respond to Eric's question.
Which question was that now, on the ordinary or extraordinary?
Yes,
Yeah, I'm not really sure what he means by that, and I don't really want to comment on that, Michael.
Okay.
Because I don't want to be
that,
wrong. You know.
That's fine then. All right. So let's take up this this issue of Mary herself being immaculately conceived.
Yeah, Michael, if I may, if I could interrupt you on that, because I want to continue on that. I mentioned before to you about the parallels between 2 Samuel 6 and Luke chapter 1. If you look and compare them, you would see that they are stunning. David goes to the hill country to get the ark. Mary goes to the hill country to visit Elizabeth. David says, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? And Elizabeth says, how is it that the mother of my Lord has come to me? David winds up leaping and dancing before the Lord in that chapter, before the ark.
Mm-hmm.
And when Elizabeth hears Mary's salutation, the baby leaps in her womb before Mary. Also, the ark of the Lord stood at the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. Mary remained with Elizabeth for 3 months. Also, if you look at Revelation chapter 11 going into 12, John says, I've seen a vision in heaven, the Ark of the Covenant, and then all of a sudden a woman appears, the woman with the 12 stars on her head. The early church writers seen these parallels. This is one of the reasons why she's sinless.
Right, but hang on. Even listen, as one that loves to see the parallels and the interworkings between the Old Covenant Scriptures and the New Covenant Scriptures,
right.
Still, we have universal statements about the sinfulness of all human beings. So
okay.
the parallels would point to that Mary was going to bear the one who was the Son of God, or, you know, the Ark of the Covenant. Let's say I accept every one of your parallels. I still have explicit scripture that all have sinned. Isaiah 53:6 makes clear that every one of us, every human being, has turned astray. We have Paul saying that the whole world is guilty, Jew and Gentile, of sin, categorically. No exceptions, except for Jesus, who himself was without sin and therefore took our sins. And again, contrary to any universal early church view that Mary herself was sinless, we have statements of even church leaders, which are of tertiary authority to me at best compared with Scripture. But they talk about her struggles as well. And in fact, in Mark, the third chapter, it says that she and Yeshua's siblings came to seize him. They thought it was out of his mind. So even she's struggling with aspects of what's going on with him. So when Scripture is explicit about every human being under sin and Jesus alone being the only one who is without sin, you know, that's self-evidently true, and the only one who is virginally conceived, and therefore there is no taint of sin through Adam, and he comes down from heaven, which is again why he's without sin, I have to accept the fact that Mary, as blessed as she was a human being.
Okay, Michael, let's look at those verses. Paul is quoting when he says, all have sinned, right? He's quoting Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. If you read those Psalms, you will see that they cannot possibly apply to Mary. He's talking about certain miscreants on the earth that were devouring the children of God, that were devouring God's people. And there are exceptions. Also in Romans, you will see that when Jacob and Esau was in, Paul writes about in the womb, there was a time when they did neither right nor wrong. A child below the age of reason technically cannot sin, because to do that, you need knowledge.
Well, Psalm 51 makes clear that we're born in sin. There's the conscious act of sin, and Deuteronomy 1:39 indicates that there has to be a consciousness of what's being done in terms of right and wrong. But Paul is not quoting from Romans, from Psalm 14 or Psalm 53 when he gets to Romans 3:23. He's quoted from them earlier in the chapter, but now he's coming to a discussion here. Now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus the Messiah for all who believe, for there's no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Messiah Jesus. See, I think, Frank, to be candid, what bothers me the most is that we have verse after verse after verse after verse after verse after verse, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, exalting Jesus, speaking of his mission, speaking of his work, speaking of everything he has done. that's where our focus to be. There's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved other than
his
name. And on and on and on. And all of this discussion about Mary, Miriam is a total distraction from
that.
Well,
wait a minute,
It's a complete distraction away from all of these basic doctrines. I mean, I'm reading verse after verse, and it didn't dawn on John. It didn't dawn on Paul. It didn't dawn on Peter. It didn't dawn on any of these. And in an exalting way, it didn't dawn on Matthew, Mark, or Luke either to speak of Mary, Miriam in this exalted way. She's honored as the mother of our Lord, and she's honored throughout history as such. And she'd get more honor in the Protestant church if not for Catholic overexaltation. But stay with us. We'll be back. Everybody hang on. We'll get your calls.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know what? Yesterday was Martin Luther King Day, and I didn't realize till late in the day. I tend not to remember what holidays there are, but it's very interesting things that have happened with me on Martin Luther King Day. I'll talk about it tomorrow. Thursday, I will be having a dialogue, or it could be a debate. We'll see where it goes with an Orthodox rabbi who says he was once a committed Christian. That's what he says. That'll be on Thursday's broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. Freddie in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thanks for having me. I'm a Roman Catholic, and I just want to say that I love Mary, but I believe the biggest disservice we could do to her is to take some glory away from Jesus in her name. You see, I believe that Mary knew Jesus more than anyone on earth, maybe anyone that was ever been on earth. She knew who he was, and I think it would pain her to know when she was alive that when she died, glory would be taken from Jesus, her Savior. And the same goes with the saints as well. Every saint I ever read about dedicated their life to the glory of Jesus. Not one of them said, as soon as I die, stop worshiping Jesus, worship me. So I don't understand why, you know, to honor these people, the worst way to honor someone is to take glory away from Jesus in their name. And that's all I want you to say. Thank you.
Yeah, well said, Freddie. Thank you. And I appreciate a Catholic voice being the one to say that. Mark in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call. Just a few quick points. With Mary, I mean, she acknowledged herself, or, you know, that she thanked, you know, God, her Savior, you know, that she acknowledged that she needed a Savior when she said that, and she acknowledged that she had a low estate or a low position, but that because of what God did in using her, that she'd be blessed. I mean, even Mary acknowledged it. And then take a point further, and I'd like to hear a response to this, is just, you know, the Catholics believe that, you know, she didn't have any other children. They believe that she never had any children, that even so far that Joseph had other children. And that's just not in the scriptures, where the scripture implicitly asserts that she did have other children, and these were Jesus' siblings. And,
right, got it. Yeah, so Mark, if we don't get into that second point this hour, it'll be in the second hour for sure. And of course, you can listen to that all online. But again, Mark's viewpoint would be very simply, we have to hold to what Scripture does teach on the subject, and that's our authority. Obviously, Catholics feel that there's church authority. We say when church authority contradicts a scriptural authority, we follow scriptural authority. I want to get to all your calls, 866-34-TRUTH, even if we carry over into the next hour. But, Frank, let's talk about something. Our friend Frank in Staten Island, let's talk about some. We've got the end of the show coming up, but I want to just press one point here, not a doctrinal difference, but the concern that Freddie raised as a Catholic, that veneration of Mary, adoration of Mary, prayers to Mary, worship of Mary, that competes with or distracts from Jesus. That's what I've seen over the years, and that's what the Catholic reading I've done in recent days tells me. words spoken about her that to me would be blasphemous to speak to a human being. I could only speak those to God himself. What's your response to that?
My response would be that it says in Leviticus, reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. That is from God himself. Mary was the sanctuary of Jesus. Honor thy father and thy mother. Jesus honored her. He had to. Can we do any less? Also, we do not worship Mary. Mary is not worshipped. She's honored, just like the Lord says in the Catholic Church. But let me just go back to one thing that you said before the break, Michael, when you were talking about all have sinned. It also is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. But yet you see exceptions in the Bible. You see Elijah did not die. He was essentially raptured.
How do we know that? How do we know that?
Well, as far as we could tell, Enoch.
How do we know that? How do we know that?
Well, we know it to the extent that we can know it, Michael.
In other words, we know it because it's written in the Bible, but the opposite is said about Mary in the Bible.
Well, wait a minute.
It's also said about Jesus that he was the only one without sin. And, you know, you make the distinction as far as worship and honor. The fact is, the person on the street, the person praying to Mary, the person asking Mary to go to Jesus, the person with statues of Mary in her home or his home, that person has put up another competitive image or name with – it has nothing to do with honoring a father or mother. It has to do with going far beyond that to a point of adoration. And some of the statements that I read, you know, in her are all graces and so on. Frank, that should only be said about Jesus. I mean, you need to step back and ask yourself – and by the way, as far as the sanctuary – we as believers are now temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We are called temples of the Holy Spirit. God forbid that any of us would then say, well, then we should be reverenced because we are the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. You got to just recognize, Frank, on the practical level, how this works itself out is a way that ends up being terribly dishonoring to Jesus, distracts from worship and adoration to him, which alone he can receive because he's God, and goes to the glory of God the Father. But Frank, since you've made yourself available, we're going to continue this discussion into the second hour. I've got one question. I need a super short answer.
Okay.
In your view, can someone be completely right with God and loving Jesus, following him, at the same time rejecting Catholic teaching on Mary?
Not if he's a Catholic.
No. Okay. I'm saying for
not
a non-Catholic.
For
a non-Catholic, can that person, someone like me, be in right standing with God, loving the Lord, exalting Jesus, following God, and reject Catholic teaching on Mary?
Well, I think so, because if you were a Catholic, no, you could not be in right standing with God.
Okay, but for a non-Catholic, I just want to get your viewpoint.
No, you can, because the Catholic Church considers... they call evangelicals and Protestants, as a rule, the separated brethren.
All right, so maybe we'll come back to that. Yeah,
but I
got to run. Frank, got to run, got to break. Everybody hang on. We'll carry you over into the next hour as we continue to discuss these issues about Mary. Friends, stay with the Scriptures. Stay with the Scriptures. Human beings have erred many a time. Church doctrines have been wrong. God's eternal word never varies. All exaltation, honor goes to Jesus, to the glory of God the Father. Hey, take advantage of this week's special offer. It will open your heart and mind and stir your heart. Volume 1 of Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, the most fundamental, still the best-selling of all the series, deals with the most fundamental issues that come up. You'll find it eye-opening and a great tool to give to a Jewish person. And then my message, Holy Desperation, I'm holding it in my hand here in a beautiful CD case. One of the most stirring messages I've ever preached in my life will drive you to hunger and the pursuit of God. A $35 value, just $20, postage paid. Order today, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978 to order. My bottom line, God sent his Son into the world that through him we might be saved. Jesus has been given the highest name in the universe because he humbled himself, took on the form of a servant, died a criminal's death, and has been highly exalted. May all honor, glory go to him, to the praise of the Father. Our Catholic friends teach that Mary is the mother of God, that she herself was sinless, that she was immaculately conceived, and that she ascended to heaven and is the co-mediator with Jesus. Are these biblical ideas, or should we reject them outright?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is Tuesday here on The Line of Fire, which means our focus is on teaching or apologetics or practical living. And on Friday's broadcast, which is devoted to random questions that you have and random email questions I get, so a wide range of topics we cover on a Friday. Some callers called in asking about Mary, asking about Catholic teaching on Mary. I responded. Some Catholics called in with their take. Others called in with their take. And I said, you know, we need some more time on this. We need to focus on this. So we'll have the debate. We'll have the discussion on Tuesday. So after thousands of radio broadcasts and thousands of sermons that I have preached and classes that I have taught and scores of books and articles that I've written, for the first time, and I'm aware of, we're going to have an entire show, entire discussion focused on Mary. 866-34-TRUTH. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire or join in the discussion on our Facebook page. That's Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. I was talking to a friend of mine who's been a missionary in Italy for decades. And when he came to faith, he was in the drug culture, he was in the hippie world. But once he got that out of his life, he said, well, hang on, I'm Catholic. After all, I'm a Catholic, that's what I believe. And he asked a friend that had led him to the Lord, if I remember, his brother-in-law. And he said, what about all the things that Catholicism teaches? What about the things that Catholicism teaches and you don't teach? And the guy said, here's what you do. This is what he told my friend. He said, read through the Bible, and as you're reading through it, everything you find in the Bible that the Catholics teach that we don't teach, please talk to me about it, and then we'll discuss those issues. He read through the entire Bible and ended up not underlining a single thing because he didn't find it occurring. Well, the Catholic Church would say that's fine because things have been revealed with Catholic authority. Things have been revealed to, quote, the Mother Church. And the Pope serves an infallible or potentially infallible position. The problems, again, I have with that, I find those things contrary to Scripture. It's one thing if you said, you know, we don't know for sure if Peter was crucified upside down or not. Someone called me about that last week. We said, we don't know that for sure, but historical tradition and church tradition we have says that. Okay, fine. There's nothing hanging on that. There's nothing hinging on that. There is nothing life and death about that either way if Peter was crucified right side up or upside down, which would make the torture prolonged. And basically, according to the tradition, he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified the way my Lord was. Crucify me upside down. We can debate about church tradition, but there's no doctrine that depends on it. There is no church statement that if you don't believe this, you are somehow a heretic. My greatest concern with Catholic teaching about Mary is that it exalts her in a way that detracts from worship of Jesus the Lord, which is always to the glory of God the Father, that it competes with his role, that it puts her as a co-mediator, co-redeemer, and even speaks of her as Mother of God, which is not only an unscriptural way of speaking because God, the Eternal One, has no mother or father, and in fact, Jesus, the Son of God, is the creator of Mary, Miriam. So there are things taught that can drive people away from the faith, especially Jewish people, and that, excuse me, compete with who Jesus is, compete with the clear New Testament teaching, the clear biblical teaching of his role. And as I've dialogued with Catholics through the years, I remember one woman telling me, you can take everything away from me, including Jesus, but you can't take Mary. That's a problem. And it's a problem that's a result of wrong teaching. We'll get your viewpoint when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it's no surprise that folks on both sides of this issue about Mary are quite passionate, as we can see by people posting online and as we can see by calls coming in. I want to get to as many calls as I can. And we've got a regular listener to the Line of Fire, Frank from Staten Island. He weighs in on a number of issues, always with a literate background. He is a devoted Catholic. We started the discussion on Friday, and I assured him that I would give him time on Tuesday, even though he's not an official Catholic representative. He's frequently on behalf of the Catholic position. So Frank from Staten Island will be joining us intermittently again this hour. And Frank, as you're listening, I appreciate you taking time. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, Ask Dr. Brown. By the way, brand new article of mine just posted on townhall.com is Anti-Zionism, Anti-Semitism. I think you will find it absolutely fascinating reading. Okay. Again, my issues have to do with authority of Scripture. My issues have to do with having a divided heart. My issues have to do with the exaltation of anyone other than Jesus to the glory of God the Father. Before we get back to our friend Frank, let me grab a few other calls. Victoria in Queens, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I agree with you, and in my, I've been a Greek Orthodox, but I went beyond that. I've been searching truth. And I really feel that Mary was chosen because of her purity of her body and of her soul, and that she was chosen to be the vehicle to bring forth the sinless Son of God. I feel that she should be respected, honored, and revered, but should not be idolized, for only Jesus should be worshipped, and our Heavenly Father.
Yeah, Victoria, I think as you say that, you raised something important, and it came up right at the end of the last hour. And in fact, my friend Dr. James White, in his book about Mary, says that because Protestants have reacted against Catholic overexaltation of Mary, Miriam, that often we have not given appreciation to her and to how special she must have been to be chosen to bear the Lord. So I think your statement is an important statement, and coming from a Greek Orthodox perspective, it would be less reactionary than perhaps Protestant Catholic. But Victoria, thanks for weighing in.
She was human. That's why Jesus wanted John to take care of her when he was to go to be with his father.
Right. Well, of course, everyone would recognize that she was human, but had she sinned like others? But again, pointing out her humanity is an important reminder, as well as how special she must have been, because there was only one person that was chosen to give birth to the Son of God. Hey, Victoria, thank you for calling. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Bob in Wantagh, Long Island, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
The question seems to be, was Mary without sin? And in all due respect, according to the Scriptures, Luke 1:47 actually says, and Mary, who is speaking, says, "And my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." So we have to respect the Scriptures accordingly. And then also in Romans 3:10, it says, "There's none righteous, no, not one." And Revelation 22:18 says, "You're not to add to the Scriptures. You're not supposed to take away from the Scriptures." And there's consequences if you do those things. So we have to hold the Scriptures in high regard. I mean, they are the Word of God. God wrote the Bible himself, through the Holy Spirit, through holy men of old. And these things that are in the Bible, you can't invalidate just because over an emotional way of looking at it
even if you believe in church tradition or some level of church authority, when it contradicts Scripture,
exactly.
You have to go with Scripture. Absolutely. Hey, Bob, thank you for weighing in. Again, the Catholic view, with which I differ, that Mary, Miriam was saved from sin before she ever sinned through what Jesus did. I find that to be without a stitch of scriptural evidence. Let me read a couple of statements, and I want to go back to our friend Frank in Staten Island. These are from a book called The Glories of Mary by Alphonsus Liguori. He has been sainted by the Catholic Church. He's a canonized saint. This particular book has gone through more than 800 editions in many languages. And this is the stuff that grieves me. Quote, "It is the will of God that all graces should come to us by the hands of Mary," meaning that the plenitude of grace was in Christ, as the head from which it flows is from its source, "and in Mary, as the neck through which it flows, for in all dangers thou canst obtain salvation of this glorious virgin. All graces are dispensed by Mary, and all who are saved only by the means of this divine mother. It is upon preaching Mary and exciting all to confidence in her intercession." Back to you, Frank. You're a Catholic. I just want to read these statements again. Tell me your response, then you can weigh in on something else you'd like. But first, let me read this again. It is, excuse me, "It is the will of God that all graces should come to us by the hands of Mary," meaning that the plenitude of grace was in Christ, as the head from which it flows is from its source, and in Mary is in the neck through which it flows, for in all dangers thou canst obtain salvation of this glorious virgin. All graces are dispensed by Mary, and all who are saved only by means of this divine mother. It is upon preaching Mary and exciting all to confidence in her intercession. I mean, I categorically reject those words. How do you respond to them as a Catholic?
Yes, that's totally biblical, Michael. Let me tell you why. And this goes back to also co-redemptrix, co-mediatrix. Even though those terms are not dogma of the church, you don't have to believe those terms. But anyway, Mary mediated salvation to us through Jesus Christ. The first Eve was created without sin, and yet she fell into sin. Mary is called the second Eve by the Catholic Church. And God was recapitulating things through her by mediating the Savior of the world for us, for our salvation. When you use the word co-mediatrix or co-redemptrix literally means, it comes from the Latin word cum, which means, and trix means a female, woman with the Redeemer. Mary was with the Redeemer at his conception, at his gestation, at his birth, throughout his life. She even suffered with him at the cross, fulfilling Simeon's prophecy. And a sword
she did,
pierce
she did
your
not ascend.
Also.
She did not ascend to the right hand of the Father as he did. She did not die for our
sins
as he did. And he is the one mediator between God and man, the man Messiah Jesus, as Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 2. So you are saying, you affirm this, "In all dangers thou canst obtain salvation of this glorious virgin. All graces are dispensed by Mary, and all who are saved only by means of this divine mother. It is upon preaching Mary and exciting all to confidence in their intercession." Paul made plain in 1 Corinthians 2, and then the whole New Testament makes plain, the message is Jesus and him crucified.
Yes.
And in fact, there's not a syllable about Mary, say, in John's gospel as far as the role in her birth or so, because that's not the emphasis in Messiah's birth. The emphasis is on the Word becoming flesh, and through him we know God. I mean, from beginning to end, the New Testament, you read it 1,000 times, and you'd say, oh, Mary, Miriam, she was honored and special, wonderful, but all the emphasis, everything is on Jesus. Preaching Mary would be now competing with the message, and nothing that you find the syllable of in the New Testament. No one preached her. No one declared her.
Yeah, Michael, the Catholic Church would teach that we are all co-mediators and co-redeemers with Christ when we participate in the Great Commission. Mary to a greater extent for obvious reasons.
But we don't preach. We preach Jesus. We don't preach Mary. This is upon preaching. It is upon preaching Mary and exciting all to confidence in her intercession. That's, I don't want to say blasphemous, that's unbiblical. That's completely wrong.
No, Michael, we could intercede for each other. If you go to Hebrews 12:23, it says we have come to the
I'm talking about
God.
Preaching Mary. I'm focusing on the terms preaching Mary.
Yeah, yeah.
We're supposed to preach Jesus, not his mother, Miriam.
And the Catholic Church would say that there is only one Savior. You could find that Dominus Jesus on the Unicity and Salvific Universality of Jesus Christ in the Church, put out by the Vatican in the year 2000. You could find it in the Catechism.
But I understand it. But this contradicts it.
That
to honor this, that to honor this Queen of Angels is to gain eternal life. That this most gracious Lady will honor in the next world those who honor in this. No, Jesus says, if you honor me, you'll be honored. If you deny me, I'll deny you. He doesn't say if you acknowledge my mother, I'll acknowledge you, or she'll acknowledge you. That's giving her a role that only Jesus has.
Michael, he certainly honored her. Honor your father and your mother. And all the church is doing is honoring her. They're making it clear. Also, when you say, when you can't find these
why don't we talk more about Joseph? Honor your father and mother. Why don't we talk more about Joseph?
When we find, well, Joseph is honored in the Catholic Church.
Tell you what, Frank, I want you to say.
I also want to get to the brethren of the Lord later on.
Oh, we'll definitely do it. We'll do it later in the broadcast, I assure you, Frank, because we got a break here. We will take up the question of, were there brothers and sisters of Jesus? Did Mary, Miriam have children? Did she have sexual relations with Joseph after Messiah's birth? Did he have siblings? What does the text literally say? I appreciate Frank being so well-versed in Catholicism. It's also honing and sharpening our differences as well.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are continuing our discussion on Catholic beliefs on Mary, prompted by calls that came in last week on Friday, and I said we'll devote an entire broadcast to it. If this is the first time you tuned in, you may listen for another 2 years before the subject comes up again. It's not a primary focus. It's not because I don't care about Catholics. It's because my main mission is not to differ with Catholicism. I have profound differences on different areas and different doctrinal issues and practical issues for sure. If I find someone who has been truly born again, serving Jesus as Lord, that is within the Catholic Church, I look at that person as my brother or my sister, regardless of those other differences. Do I believe those differences can ultimately separate someone from the Lord? Surely. Surely I do. If taken to wrong conclusions or logical conclusions, certainly. And I absolutely reject the idea that all those outside of the Catholic Church or outside of the Mother Church or that the Pope is the universal church leader. But I'm not even getting into all that. We're talking about Mary today, 866-34-TRUTH. Talking to another Mary in Fairfield, Connecticut. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you so much for this program. I am jumping out of my chair at Frank. I was a Catholic for 40 years, and then some way, somehow, that beautiful Holy Spirit got to me, and I opened the Bible. And now I have rejected so much of what they teach. They don't teach Bible. They teach tradition. They put spin on everything. And I am not trying to bash the Catholic Church. I'm speaking from my heart. Mary, yes, she was a pure woman. She needed a Savior. It's stated in Luke. Joseph knew her after Jesus was born. She went on like Jewish women and had a normal family. But the Catholic Church raises her to the point of honoring. No, venerate her as a holy woman, yes. But no, it takes away from Jesus Christ who created her. And all these lies and spins were taught to me from the time I was 4 right up through 40 years old, Peter being the rock, purgatory. I could go on. And it's got to stop. And it's a show like yours where the Holy Spirit is just speaking biblical truth, not folklore, not tradition, not Pope talk. The words of God Almighty, Christ, he's eternal God. Nobody's equal to him. He's the only one that's perfect. He's the only one without sin. And I'm enraged at these Catholics. You cannot talk to them. You cannot. They will not listen. They have they are just brainwashed.
Well, Mary,
a relationship.
Yeah. Hang on. Let me just jump in and say one thing. Was it not through the patience of the Lord and the graciousness of the Lord in your life that you came to hold to what you hold to now?
You know, all I know, it was the Holy Spirit. I don't know
right,
how
the
he did
the
it.
Holy Spirit, right. But basically, God was patient with you
those
40 years. So you need to, if Almighty God could be patient with you, then you need to have the same patience and grace with those with whom you differ.
I understand that, and I respect you. Yes, you're kinder than I am. It's just that when I know the truth,
I understand, but we want to draw people to the truth and not push them away. And that's
the
important.
I know, but by giving Frank so much time.
No,
I mean,
but here's the thing. No, Mary, just so you understand something, when I do a debate, I try to have someone from the other side join me. This came up on short notice. I didn't have an opportunity to get a Catholic spokesperson to come on. So actually, I'm taking a lot of calls, but the vast majority of the callers are differing with Frank. So I need to at least be fair,
represent
the other side. And Frank is patient because I'm only giving him little bits here and there. But Mary, let me just ask you one important question. You've been very eloquent and very clear.
I just want
you to tell me, as a Catholic, was your heart divided between Jesus and Mary?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, more Mary, because I related to Mary as my mother, where my father was stern. And do you know what I'm saying? And I had almost a fear of God, where I didn't as Mary, because the Catholic Church made me believe she was my mother.
And somehow Jesus is the King of Justice,
but Mary is like
the Mother of Mercy.
With Jesus.
Got it. All clear. Hey, Mary, thank you for calling in.
You sound very much like
the women that were in the church where I first came to faith.
And you know what? I wish I could listen to this hour, but I only get 1 hour here in Fairfield, Connecticut. So whatever is said about me, I'm glad maybe I can't hear.
Don't worry about it. But listen, you can catch everything later online. AskDrBrown.org.
God bless you, Dr. Brown. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks. Appreciate that. 866-34-TRUTH. Robert in Mount Clair, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. I thank you so much for this issue. I've been trying to find someone like Frank in the Catholic Church that I could talk to. Most of my Catholic friends don't really deal with Catholic doctrine, and I'm not sure that they're ever really taught the doctrine and the basics of why they believe what they believe. But you did touch on in your last few statements the issue that I was going to bring to you, and that was that regardless of what a Catholic's belief is with regard to Mary or a Protestant with regard to Mary, keeping in mind that one can go to an extreme to the idea of a co-redeemer and so forth and put their faith in the wrong way. But are we talking here about an issue that determines one's salvation, or are we dealing with a doctrinal issue that we just can't come to unity on? Every time you've challenged Frank, Frank comes back to the same thing. He believes in Jesus Christ and the redemption by Jesus Christ and the fact that he's relying on Jesus Christ for his salvation. Am I making any sense to you?
Yeah, sure thing. So here in short, Robert, there are Catholics whose devotion to Mary is such that I say it is unscriptural to the point of denying the lordship or salvation of Jesus alone. In other words, Jesus gets displaced by Mary. Mm-hmm. I have great concern as to where those people stand before God. There are others who, from everything
and
I can tell,
Frank would say that wasn't necessarily Catholic.
He would say it's absolutely not. And Robert, not only so.
Please continue.
Yeah, not only so. The other thing is there are Catholics who would say that I am not saved or in right relationship with God because I reject the veneration and exaltation of Mary. So here's what we have to agree on. Salvation comes through Jesus and him alone, through faith that he died for our sins, rose from the dead, and we confess him as Lord and receive the gift of repentance and eternal life so that we now live to do his will. That is salvation. You cannot take away from that and be saved. What can you add to it? Well, if you add to it to the point that it denies that, you have now denied it. That is the fundamental. So obviously, I'm not every individual's judge, and I'm thankful that God is my judge, not any individual. We come back. We're going to take up a couple of issues, the teaching that Mary is, quote, Mother of God, and the question of did she have children after the time that Jesus was born, all coming your way right here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I mentioned this at the beginning of the first hour. Let me repeat it now. One of my former students, when I was teaching on Long Island, went to serve as a missionary intern in Central America, in Guatemala. While there, there was a Catholic parade that took place on Easter as they were celebrating it. And I saw the photographs brought back. As they paraded down the street, they had Jesus in a coffin that men were carrying on their shoulders as they walked down the street. And then they had another platform, and this platform had a woman sitting on a throne, and it said, Mary, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What grieves me most and concerns me most about Catholic teaching on Mary is it exalts her in an unbiblical way to a point that distracts from, detracts from, competes with the glory and honor that goes to Jesus alone, the Son of God, to the glory of God the Father. That's what grieves me and concerns me the most. And look, our hearts can easily be divided. When we love Jesus, we are loving God. But when Catholics pray prayers like this, Hail, O Queen, O Mother of Mercy, hail our life, our comfort, and our hope. We, the banished children of Eve, cry out unto thee. To thee we send up our sighs, groaning and weeping in this vale of tears. Come then, our advocate, and look upon us with those thy pitying eyes. And after this our banishment, show us, Jesus, the blessed fruit of thy womb. O merciful, O compassionate, O sweet Virgin Mary. Mary, our Queen, our Mother, Mary, our life, our sweetness, Mary, our hope, Mary, our mediatress, Mary, our advocate, Mary, our guardian, Mary, our salvation. This from a major Catholic book on Mary. This is very dangerous stuff to me, very misleading, very unscriptural. And the reason we're talking about it, those of you who listen to me for years know that we talk about all kinds of controversial issues and all kinds of issues that can divide, and we try to do it constructively. But this is the first show I've ever devoted. So out of thousands of shows, the first show I've ever devoted just to the subject of who is Mary. But it's on the heels of calls coming in on Friday when the subject came up on our Q&A day. And I said, let's devote a whole day to it. So here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Again, I have an official representative from the Catholic Church, but I have one of our faithful listeners, always with a collegial spirit and a gracious spirit, who is a devoted Catholic, Frank from Staten Island, who we've been bringing on here and there to weigh in. So, Frank, we've got a couple minutes before the break. Thanks, man, for taking time out of your schedule here. When you hear words like these and these praises going up to Mary and prayers like this going up to Mary, when we know that Jesus is the one who is exalted to the glory of God the Father, does that concern you that Catholics can have a divided heart here?
That's not a divided heart, Michael. All that is intercession. If you look at Hebrews 12:23, you will see that we have come to the New Jerusalem, to God, to the angels, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. Intercession is found throughout the entire Bible. The Catholic Church never puts Mary above Jesus Christ. That's a fact. Protestants may think that, but that's unfortunate. I could intercede for you before God. Sinful men could pray to God for you and for me, Michael. How much more could Mary intercede for us? She mediated the first miracle of our Lord at Cana. She mediated Christ to the world. I don't think people realize how holy she was. And but we're just giving her the honor that's due her.
Yeah, but Frank, even if she's wonderfully holy and mediating the miracle at Cana, I mean, Jesus does speak to her firmly and says, woman, it's not my time. You don't understand.
But he does it anyway.
He acts, okay? And she then says whatever he says, do, which means put the attention on his words, listen to what he says, which is what the rest of the Bible says. But again, if I stood here singing praises to Frank that were a fraction of these praises to Mary, it would be blasphemous and wrong.
I hope you don't.
That won't happen, buddy. Don't worry. She's a fellow human being who needed salvation just like the rest of us. All right, back to your calls.
Flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on this Tuesday, this teaching day, this day where we're putting emphasis on Catholic teaching about Mary. I reject the idea that she should be called Mother of God, that she herself was sinless or immaculately conceived or ascended to heaven, or that she did not have other children. I reject all those ideas and concepts based on Scripture. Those that are Catholic who have been truly born of the Spirit, who have been truly born again, and who honor Jesus as Lord, they are my brothers and sisters, despite other differences that we might have. Those for whom Catholicism gets in the way of relationship with God and truth of Scripture, obviously, then Jesus is the issue. 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, if you just tuned in, go to townhall.com and read my article, Is Anti-Zionism Anti-Semitism? I think you'll find it eye-opening, especially what's happening in the Middle East today. Is Anti-Zionism Anti-Semitism? That's on townhall.com. Back to the phones. Jimmy in Detroit, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Dr. Brown.
You bet.
My question is, it seems to me that there's like an oversimplification when you're talking about Catholicism, and bumping in Roman Catholicism with Catholicism, and then, you know, forgetting that the whole Orthodox church tradition seemed to be carried over, you know, from the earliest, you know, from the apostles onward with, you know, some would say apostolic succession or laying out of hands. And, you know, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2:15 to, you know, hold fast to the things, you know, that, you know, that you were taught by either by word or by mouth, which would include tradition. And I'm just wondering, like, you know, the whole thing with, you know, just taking the scriptures alone, I think that kind of divorces scripture from its history. I mean, which scriptures do we then say is scripture? You know, because obviously the Orthodox Church established the canon, you know, and then the whole thing with, you know, the Orthodox Church.
I don't accept that the Orthodox Church established the canon, because you have differences between Catholic, Greek, Orthodox, and all the first believers being Jewish. They did not accept a full Septuagintal canon, for example, the books that are in the Apocrypha. And so what we do is Scripture tests Scripture. That's what tradition has its place, but Scripture tests Scripture. Jesus
right.
said, heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. It says in Proverbs, the third chapter, that God's word is a tree of life to those who take hold of it. It says in Psalm 119 that God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It says in Hebrews 4:12 that the word of God is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword, and on and on. And then the end of Revelation 22, there's a warning about adding or taking away, just as in the end of Deuteronomy 12, beginning of Deuteronomy 13, depending on whether you're reading Hebrew and English, there's a warning about adding or taking away from the word. So ultimately, that's what stands firm and secure. Nowhere do New Testament authors quote, as far as quoting Scripture, words of the Apocrypha, which again would have been in keeping with contemporary Jewish beliefs. And by the end of the first century, it was locked in what was recognized as scriptures of what we call the Old Testament. So that's where the debate is, the so-called apocryphal books. But the biggest thing to me, though, is when anyone deviates from Scripture, because you can read the church fathers and they're having differences, and they're early church leaders that talk about Mary's sinful ambition and vanity or struggling with doubt, and there are others that speak of her in different terms. Most of the later Catholic teachings, the Mother of God stuff and all that, don't come in for centuries and centuries. So, and then I see a lot of anti-Semitic junk in some of these early church leaders, some really ugly statements and negative statements. So if I'm putting my faith in them, I'm in trouble. And
right.
there are lots of different beliefs, and then the Greek Orthodox claim to be the true church, and the Roman Catholics claim to be the true church. I have a friend who is ordained, and he showed me his book that traces apostolic succession back to Jesus. So, in other words, there are many competing claims. What's certain, what we have in common is the Scripture. That has to be our authority.
Right. No, and I totally agree with almost, you know, 90% of what you just said. I just think that when sometimes, like, when you, you know, and this whole, I mean, it kind of ties back to the, you know, the veneration of Mary and everything and how that differs from worship, which I would disagree that I think, you know, the Roman Catholic, you know, tradition, you know, very, very, you know, it just divorced itself from the early church. And, you know, I think the Seventh Ecumenical Council, I don't know, one of the ecumenical councils, you know, described the veneration of Mary or the veneration of
Jimmy, just to say this, because I want to get to a bunch of other calls. There, Catholics would make a distinction about the worship that goes to God versus adoration of Mary. The problem is the person on the street, we know how it works out in many, many cases. And again, but thanks for calling, Jimmy. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Bernardine of Siena concludes that as many creatures as there are who serve Mary, for as angels and men and all things that are under heaven and on earth are subject to the empire of God, so are they also under the dominion of Mary. No, no, no. Mary's not Lord or Lordess. I don't serve Mary. I serve the Lord. 866-34-TRUTH. Before we get back to Frank, Frank, what's coming next, we'll discuss did Mary, Miriam have other children. Ben in Fort Wayne, Indiana. All right, we lost Ben. All right, let's go back to our buddy Frank in Staten Island. Okay, so as you know, as I look at Scripture, it tells me explicitly that Miriam did not have any relations, with Joseph until after she gave birth to Messiah. Does until have to mean that she did afterwards? No, but it implies it. Then it mentions his siblings explicitly. And it uses all the normal terms for brothers and sisters. It mentions explicitly his brothers who don't believe during his lifetime. And then we have other early church leaders who spoke, quote, freely about his blood brothers and Miriam having other children. On what do you base the teaching, and you wanted to get into this so we come back to it, that she had no children despite the quite explicit scriptural evidence? And I guess the question is how could Scripture have made it more clear and to say she didn't have relations until this, and then mentions the brothers and sisters of the Lord after that.
Okay, I'm going to deal with that through the Scriptures, Michael. Just let me digress for a second, though, for something that you said before. Our Lord did quote from the Apocrypha. If you compare Tobias 4:16 with Matthew 7:12 and Luke 6:31, you will see that he did, in fact, quote from there. You could compare Wisdom 15:7 with Romans 9:21, Sirach 28:1-2 with Matthew 6:14-15.
Hang on. I'm going to let you requote all those in 1 second. But I said quoting Scripture as Scripture. So in other words, as the Word says or the Lord says, okay, as opposed to making allusion. I mean, we know that Jude quotes from Enoch, for example, but you don't have Enoch as part of your canon. So I'm going to let you go through that list again in 1 second. But is it ever quoted as the Word of God, as Scripture says, or as the Lord says, or as it is written? That's the big issue.
Well, I mean, if he quotes from it, if Jesus quoting from it, Michael, I don't know how much more evidence that you need. I mean, he legitimized it. And
But Matthew 7:12, whatever you wish that others would do, you do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. This goes, number one, that was also circulating in other Jewish teaching outside of Tobit. It was related to a saying of Hillel that was known then. And it all goes back to Leviticus 19, v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, love your neighbor as yourself. What I'm saying is when he was quoting Scripture, he made a distinction. As it is written, as it is said, God says. So that's the difference between just quoting. Paul quotes poets. Paul quotes secular poets in Acts, the 17th chapter. That doesn't prove that they're inspired when he quotes them.
Well, the canon of Scripture was set down at the Council of Rome in 382, Council of Hippo, Canon 36 and 393, and the Council of Carthage, number 3, Canon number 47 and 397 A.D., and they contain the deuterocanonical books of the Apocrypha, Michael. But let me get back to the question that you asked about the brothers of Jesus. Okay, yep. If you turn to 1 Chronicles 26, the word relative, I'm reading that in a New American Standard, word-for-word translation. The word relatives is used in that chapter approximately 8 times, but the literal translation, the literal word there is brothers. And in verse 32, and it says, I think it's a man named Jerijah, and his relatives, or brothers, capable men were 2,700 in number. We know that a woman cannot give birth to 2,700 children.
Oh, yeah, there's no argument that the Hebrew ach, brother, can refer to extended relatives, or that Ben, son, can mean son or grandson.
Yeah, well, let me go on, Michael.
Go ahead.
If you turn to Galatians 1, verse 19, Paul goes to visit Peter in Jerusalem. He stays with him 15 days. And he says there, I did not see any of the other apostles except James, the brother of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you turn back to a list of the apostles, let's use the one in Matthew chapter 10. You find two Jameses there, James the Greater, James the Less. One is the son of Zebedee, and the other one is the son of Alphaeus. Neither one of them have Joseph for a father, and consequently, Mary for a mother. So, we have a problem with the word brothers here. Brothers could have been translated...
We don't at all. Let me tell you why, Frank. Because the word apostle is used for several people in the New Testament beyond the first 11 or 12,
as you should know,
especially in the book of Acts. So, I mean, that comes up. All right, I'm going to get a few more calls and then get back to you, Frank. But thanks for weighing in. Appreciate it.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
For all those frustrated if you haven't been able to get through calling because the phones have been lit up the entire 2 hours, please weigh in on the website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Frank, I invite you to do that as well. You can have lengthy discussion back and forth over hundreds of posts. I get involved here and there, but mainly that's for listeners to interact. So great opportunity to carry out the conversation. Or my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, SDR Brown. Cardinal Bellarmine, I'll try to pronounce the name. What power of hell or what temptation can overcome them if they place their confidence in the patronage of this great mother, the mother of God and of them? We fly to thy patronage, O holy mother of God. We fly to thy patronage, O holy mother of God. Oh, how many victories have not the faithful gained over hell by having recourse to Mary with this short but most powerful prayer? No, sir. No, ma'am. It's not the prayer we pray. We don't look to Mary. We look to the Lord Jesus who created Mary. Just to be clear, with all respect to my Catholic friends. John in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. Great topic. I feel for you. I want to rent my shirt. You know, adding Mary to the equation is basically the early church debating whether it was necessary to circumcise still. And this has basically led to, I grew up in Long Island, this has basically led to people with statues in their house of St. Jude and writing into the paper and sending in money for prayers. It's really absurd. And I know Frank has a lot of wisdom, but I think he's just grew up in it, and it's engrossed in him. But, I mean, just saying the rosary itself, you can't see that as blasphemy. It's a real sad situation. And the Catholic Church is probably 75% of the Christians in the world are probably Catholic, and Satan has definitely seated himself in that holy place. It's very easy to say goodbye.
All right, John, thanks for weighing in. Yeah, actually, Catholics would make up about half of the world Christian population today, a professing Christian population. Scott Winston-Salem about Jude.
Yes, sir, Dr. Brown. I'm reading the third verse of the book of Jude where it says, I urge you to continue struggling for the common faith that was entrusted to the saints once for all. I emphasize three points. One is once for all. In other words, the scripture was complete at the time of the work of the apostles and prophets. The other is entrusted to the saints, which means that we are subject to false teachers, but the saints have to fight. And it's a common faith. In other words, we look for commonality. And I was converted by a Catholic. Whether she shot my argument down because of illogic, I'm not sure. But I became a Protestant, but I was converted by a Catholic.
Got it. All right. Hey, Scott, thanks for weighing in and exegeting the verse there. I appreciate it. Kelly in Beaumont, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I've narrowed it down to one main question. Okay, Catholics believe that Mary is pretty much one up on all of humanity, so to speak. That's kind of a lame way to put it. But if that's the case, and we're to honor her in a reverent type of way that is worthy of worship or prayer, then why do we not do this with, say, John the Baptist? Because Jesus said out of all mankind that's ever been born of women, he was the greatest.
Yeah, and then Jesus also says whoever is born in the kingdom is greater. But Kelly, actually, I mean, I appreciate the point. It's a good point to raise. Actually, though, Catholics would exalt John the Baptist and quite a few others, just not quite as highly as Mary. But thank you for weighing in. Scott in Richmond, Virginia, we've got to be real quick, but to your point, please.
Okay. The Catholic Church seems to have exalted Mary to the position of the Queen of Heaven, if I'm understanding some of the prayers you've been reciting. In Jeremiah, specifically 7:18, God is passing judgment on Israel, and they're baking wafers to the Queen of Heaven and worshiping false gods. Can we tie this together with the harlot riding the beast in Revelation? And how much pagan influence is in the Catholic Church? Thank you.
All right. Yeah, Scott, those are great questions. And I would say questions we'd have to take up another time on the larger question of pagan influences on Catholicism. And many would argue they're very deep and very far-reaching. Obviously, Catholics would differ with that. But thanks for raising that issue and the question of the Queen of Heaven. Frank, here's what we're going to do.
Let me answer that question, Michael. Could I answer that, please?
Okay, got to be real quick because we're almost at the end of the program. But go ahead.
Okay, that's because many of the kings in the Old Testament had many wives, and there's the actual title of the Queen Mother. You could find that in 1 Kings 15:13, 1 Kings 2:19, and she would take over the mantle if the king died. Jesus, Mary is the queen, is Jesus' mother. That's why, even to this day, there are countries that have the title of the Queen Mother. So if Jesus is the King of Heaven,
just remember, though, the Queen Mother took over illegitimately in the Bible because it was supposed to go to the next son that was reigning. So the Queen Mother took over illegitimately. But listen, I just want you to do this for the benefit of our listeners, all right? We're out of time, but take 30 seconds to just tell us who Jesus is to you. That's where I want to end, Frank.
Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He's the Savior of all Catholics who understand their faith. Put your faith in him. Mary does not usurp Jesus, absolutely not, but she is definitely honored. And let me leave you with this last quote, Michael.
Quote,
that
quick.
The Roman Church is more ardent by God than all others is not to be doubted. St. Peter and St. Paul, 46 popes, some hundreds of thousands of martyrs have laid down their lives in its communion, having overcome hell in the world, so that in the eyes of God rest on the Roman Church with special favor. You know who said that? After he lost the Protestant Reformation, Martin Luther, in the history of the Reformation by Protestant partisan Merle D.O.B.
Yeah, and you know, I'll just say this though, Frank. Catholic Church has shed a whole lot more blood than Protestant churches combined many times over, sad to say. So we each have our blemishes, we each have our weak points, our strengths. But I wanted to end, I wanted to give the benefit to end on a note of saying, here's where we agree. Jesus and Jesus alone saves. Jesus and Jesus alone is Lord. Jesus and Jesus alone is worthy of our worship and our lives because he died for us, the sinless Son of God. And as we worship him, we worship God because only God is worthy of worship. Hey, Franks, thanks for joining us today. Keep the conversation going, all right? AskDrBrown.org, click on the line of fire. And a tremendous double resource we have, a great savings as well. It's a $35 resource, just $20, and we're paying the postage. It's volume one of Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, which deals with all the fundamental issues that come up. You'll be amazed with the quotes, the information there, just on what it says about repentance and things like that. That plus free with it, my message, Holy Desperation. You want something that'll get you on your knees crying out to God. It's this message. You can listen to it in your car on CD. It'll really stir your heart. Together, just $20. But order today, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978 or online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire. There's no question there are many issues, and this is my bottom line. There is no question that there are many issues that divide Catholic and Protestant. There is no question that we deeply differ on the position of Mary. Let us then exalt Jesus. Let us preach Jesus, crucified, risen, exalted, coming again.